Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for this life that you've given us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the victory, Lord. We thank you for the victory, Lord. We thank you that we are overcomers in that name. Hallelujah to Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. We thank you that your word is life to all that find them and health to all of our flesh. We thank you, Father, that you watch over your word to perform it. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the revealer of the word. We thank you, Father, that he guides us into all truth. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, right now, we just thank you that your word shall go forth unhindered, that you'll speak through my mouth, through my lips. Father, you'll think with my mind. Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus that the words that come from my mouth will be your words. Amen. Father, and that you will minister them to the hearts of the hearers. That at the end of the day, Lord, you'll be heard. At the end of the day, Father, your word will be life to the hearers. At the end of the day, Father, your word will produce as you watch over it to perform. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Glory to God. We could spend the rest of the evening just calling on the name of Jesus, worshiping the name of Jesus, telling him how good he is, because he is good, you know. I said he is good, you know. Amen. And his mercy endures forever. Glory be to God. And ever 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 and ever, ever. Amen. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4. While you're turning, I want to welcome all of you out tonight. Man, we're so glad to see your beautiful faces. For you men, your faces are not beautiful, they are handsome. Your feet are beautiful, though, if you're preaching the gospel. Amen. How about that? A man got beautiful feet when they're up on the mountain preaching the gospel. Otherwise, I just won't come in on them at all. But anyway, I want to take this time to thank all of you who have been so awesome in partnering with Poindexter, Life Poindexter. All of you know, I mean, I'm here standing in front of you, so you know I got to mention Poindexter. I just can't help myself. But we want to thank you. We're able to do some amazing things now that we were not able to do in the past simply because you guys have committed to partnering with us and on a monthly basis and making sure that we have a resource, a supply that we can really reach out and touch that community. Last night, we had a Christmas party for the kids that are involved in the mentoring program at Poindexter Elementary. And I don't know how many of you have been out to the center, but it's a beautiful building. But you know what makes it more beautiful? It being full of children. And last night, we had 44 children from Poindexter. We had 40 adults and then 20 volunteers, right about 20 volunteers. There were over 100 people in that place last night. And as much as that air conditioned system is excellent, works real well, they got hot up in there. No, just kidding. It was so awesome to see so many people in that place. I'm down there every day, and most of the time it's me and man. I've learned how to talk to the shelves, and every now and then they talk back. Of course, when they do, I turn around and look to, anyway. But last night it was full of people, and it wasn't just any old body. It was volunteers from here, and it was families from Poindexter. And we planned to do so many. Pastor was there last night, and I tell you what, I think he had more fun than the kids did, just to be honest. Don't tell him I said that now. I like working there. Don't tell him I said that. But we had a great time. And we're going to have a lot, lot of more great times in that place, because we're touching lives there, and you're helping us to do that. Thank you so much. We couldn't do it without you. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Make it verse 5. Is that what I told you? If I didn't, I'm changing it. Paul is speaking. He says, he's talking to Timothy. Paul is, of course, you know the Apostle Paul. He's a man who's mightily used by God. And he has come to the end of his journey. He's talking to his protege, young Timothy, who's a pastor now, who's going to be overseeing the local church. Paul says in verse 5, he says, but he's talking to Timothy, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And this is the part I want you to pay attention to. And not to me only, but also, or rather, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, says that he has fought a good fight. He's ready to go. He's satisfied. He's finished the assignment that Jesus has given to him. And he gives Timothy a couple of instructions. He says, and I'm reading from the NIV. He says, but Timothy, keep a clear mind in every situation. He says, Timothy, in every situation, keep a clear mind. Now, we know that Paul is telling Timothy that in every situation, keep the word of God before you. Keep your mind renewed with the word of God. Keep a clear mind. That's the only way you can keep a clear mind. Amen. By renewing your mind with the word of God. He says, keep a clear mind in every situation. Secondly, he says, do not be afraid of suffering for the Lord. He says, Timothy, don't be afraid of working for the Lord, even when it's not comfortable. Don't be afraid of working with the Lord, even when it hurts, even when it's tiring, even when it's not popular, even when it's tough. Thirdly, he says, work at telling others the good news. He says, make preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, telling people about Jesus, make that a priority. And everything that you do, make that your priority. And then finally, he says, fully carry out the ministry that God has given to you. Fully carry out the ministry that God has given to you. Now, Paul is instructing Timothy to do these things. He says, now, just like for me, Timothy, just like there's a crown of righteousness that's laid up for me, there's a crown of righteousness that's laid up for every individual on the face of this earth who will do these things. A crown of righteousness. Now, Paul was in his letter to Timothy, in his conversation with Timothy, seemed to be excited about the fact that he's going to receive his crown. I don't know about you, but I'm like Paul. I want to finish what my assignment. I'm going to finish my assignment that God has given me. And even though I do it out of my love for God and my commitment to him, but I'm excited about the fact that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Amen. And so he says, it's not just for him only. It's not just for me only. It's for all of us. And so I believe that, pastor has the staff to read books periodically and do book reports. I bet you didn't know that, did you? And so this is for a good purpose. One of the books that he assigned to us some time ago was one called QBQ, Question Behind the Question. It's written by a man named John Miller. And John says that every person can change the circumstances, the world around them. They don't like their world. If they don't like their situation, they can actually change it. Primarily by asking the right questions, getting away from the old mindset of blaming somebody else for their situation or their circumstance. And, we watch television, and there are a lot of things that goes on television and things that happen right around us. We watch the news, and we ask the questions, well, why did they do that? Or why did he do that? He should have known better than that. When are things going to change? Those kinds of things. And it's just normal. It's natural that we ask questions. But this guy is saying, instead of asking the when and the who and those kinds of things, he said you can ask the right questions. He said the right question is asking what and how. What can I do to change my world? What can I do to change the circumstances? What can I do to prepare myself to be used by God? What can I do personally to change my neighborhood? How can I change my work environment? What can I do to prepare myself what God has for me? Ultimately, God wants the world to reflect His will for it. He wants our families to reflect His will for it, which is good. God is good. Everything that He is good, and everything He does is good. And God, when He works in the earth, He works through us. So as believers, we actually have a responsibility to allow Him to work through us. And one of the ways to do that is by asking the right questions, getting away from the victim way of thinking, why me kind of thing, and says, what can I do? How can I change my world? How can I change the world? There are people who are changing the world, Amen. They are. They're doing it on purpose. And so there are three questions that every person on the face of the earth. Now, we're talking about running. We're talking about fighting a good fight and finishing our course and ultimately obtaining our crown. There are three questions that every person on the face of this earth should ask themselves in order to make sure that one day they, like Paul, will receive their crown. And I'm going to share those three questions with you. And then I'm going to tell you why we got all these tables over here, these tables set up. The first question that every individual on the face of this earth should ask, because remember, there's a crown laid up for everybody who will do these things. The first question is this. And it's actually found in the book of, it's in Acts chapter 16 and verse, Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. If you want to, you can turn over there with me. Acts 16 and 25. Remember, I'm just going to go over, you can look at it or write it down. Paul and Silas have been thrown into jail and they've been beaten, and at midnight, instead of complaining, they started to pray and sing praises unto God. And the Bible says that the prisoners heard them, so they were praying and singing praises pretty loud. And it says that God answered their prayer by causing an earthquake to shake the foundation of the prison, and then the doors were open and all of the bands were loosed on the prisoners. Well, you remember that the prison guard came running down and to see what happened, and after he saw that the prisoners were actually loose or that their bands were free and the doors were open, he started to kill himself, but Paul stopped him. And then he rushed down to Paul, and he escorted Paul and Silas out of the jail, and he asked them a question. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul, of course, he says, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and all of your family." What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and all of your family. Whenever we take a trip, flying on an airplane, I think about this whenever the flight attendant is going through the safety rules. I'm inclined to call all of the flight attendants an evangelist, because they always preaching the gospel. Anyway, so this is what they always say. They say, "Well, listen, this is what you do. If anything should happen, the oxygen mask is going to fall, and when it does, then you put the oxygen mask around your face, and then assist the person next to you. First, you make sure the oxygen mask is secured around your face so that you can breathe, and then you can help the person next to you." In other words, if you don't make sure you can breathe, you can't help the person next to you. If you don't make sure that you've got life, you can't help the person next to you. You hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm probably preaching to the choir, because I know in this place, most everybody has already accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've already asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And they know that they know they're saved. And if they're not, they're going to get saved tonight. Now, Paul told Timothy, he said, "Timothy, do the work of the evangel," and that's what I'm doing. Is anybody in here tonight who's not received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? If you haven't, right after the service, you come down here, we're going to get you saved. Amen. Glory to God. It won't take long. We're going to get you saved. First question, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Second question is this. Jesus is talking to a group of people, and he's talking about believing on him. And he says, listen, he says, in fact, let's look over there. Let's go over there for that one. In John chapter 6, verse 28. John chapter 6 and verse 28. He says, "And then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" What must we do that we shall work the works of God? Jesus said, answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Once you ask, "What must I do to be saved?" and you receive your answer, Jesus, "Believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the next question you should be asking is, what must we do to work the works? See, when you come into the family of God, when you come into the kingdom of God, you become a member or a part of the body of Christ, the local church, the universal body of Christ and the local church. And as a believer, your responsibility now is to find out what your role is, or rather what the role of the church is. You see, the church is the body of Christ, and it is called to do the works of Jesus, to do the work of God. Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on me." And the reason he said that is because he goes on to say, in John 14, he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do the works." The works that I do, he will. If you believe on me, you'll do the works that I do. Amen. So when you come into the family of God, when you come into the church, the universal body of Christ, your next question should be, what must I do? What must we do as the church to do the works, to work the works of God? We know that when Jesus was on the earth, he gave us an idea of what it is we should be doing. He says, well, we know in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We know that Jesus went about teaching, preaching in the synagogues. We know he went about healing. We know he went about raising the dead. These are the works of God. We're one with him. So we, as the body of Christ, the church, this is what we do. And so when you come into the family of God, then the Bible should be a place where you search out what the works of God entails. Now, I love Luke chapter 4, verse 11, where it says that Jesus, when he announced his earthly ministry, he returned from the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. And he went into the synagogue and stood up to read, and it was handed to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, we know in Luke chapter 4, verse 11, it says, he said, and he began to read, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to do the rest of those things too." But I like the scripture that he went to. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm going to read this is the place he turned to. Now, I love this. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach or proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations." This is the work of God. Now, there are a lot of people, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who are brokenhearted. There are a lot of people who are sick and need some joy. There are a lot of people whose minds are everything but at rest. There are people who are in prison. There are people who are captive to one thing or another, addiction or something. There are a lot of people who are mourning. There are a lot of people who can't praise because of all the crazy stuff going on in their minds, in their heads. What must we do to work the works of God? The third question that every individual should ask themselves is what Paul asked himself when he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Remember, he's on his way to Damascus. And there's a bright light that he sees, and he falls off his horse. And he realizes that it's the Lord, and the Lord speaks to him. And, of course, Jesus tells him, you know, "Paul, you can't kick against the prick." He says, "Listen, there's something, you know, on the inside, there's something you need to be doing. You don't kick against that." And so Paul, when he realizes it's Jesus, how many of you know Jesus is talking to you today? Paul said, "Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? What would you have me to do?" Every one of us have gifts, talents, abilities. Every one of us have a course to run. We've all got a fight to fight. The fight is not a fight where it's not a fight where you struggle. It's a fight of faith. The fight is to keep the Word of God exalted above everything that you encounter in life. You've got a race to run. You've got a course to run. And God's plan for you, His will for you, is that you finish your course. His plan for you, His will for you, is that you keep the faith. And His plan for you is that at the end of your race, at the end of your course, at the end of your journey, that you obtain your crown of righteousness. And so he's given us, He's placed us in the church. He's given us, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, and He gave some, after Jesus ascended on high, He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In other words, He gave the ministry gifts to mature the saints, or to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is done by the saints who have been equipped by the gifts that God has given to the church. Do you hear what I'm saying? The ministry is done by those of us who come into the church and get equipped to do that. The Word of God is for the purpose of equipping us to do the work of ministry. God has a ministry for you. And He doesn't just have a ministry for you. He has literally, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we are His workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained or ordained from the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. Doing the work of the ministry is doing good work. Now, I want us to understand that we don't do good works to get saved. Everybody know that, right? We don't do good works to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. We do good works because we are in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is still desiring to do good in the earth until the broken heart is mended and until the blinded eyes are open and until the lame is walking and until you understand what I'm saying? Until broken hearts are mended, Jesus is desiring to do the work, and He desires to do it through you. And He desires to do it through me. And I'm going to let Him do it. How many of you say, I'm going to let Him do it? Glory to God. Amen. And so since I'm winding down, and my time is running out, I'm going to explain to you now. I'm going to connect what I've been talking about with these tables that are set down front. Now, I want you to understand that I don't want to put you under any condemnation. I do want to pull on your heartstrings, though. Not because, like Paul said, not that I have need of, but that it might abound unto your account. God has given us this wonderful vehicle to walk out our ministries. He's given us this awesome tool. It's called outreach. Jesus desires to reach out and touch somebody. Hear what I'm saying? I'm looking at Brother Chauncey over here. Chauncey came down to the center yesterday. And he said, "Brother, I wanted, you need help with anything." And I really didn't see anything that I just really needed help with. So I said, "Well, brother, you can come on down." And he did. When he got down there, we arranged some stuff and cleaned up some stuff and this kind of thing. He arranged the rack in the mop closet, which seems to be nothing. But while he was there, this young man comes and knocks on the door. I told him this never happened before. And he comes in and he asks for a job. Well, the young man thought he was coming and asked for a job. He really wasn't. He was coming to ask for something else. God knew it. in his heart, Brother Chauncey knew it. And when the young man left, he knew it too. He came in and we talked with him, kind of found out where he was, got a chance to pray with him, encourage him, and the man left there with a different attitude. Amen. Wasn't long after he left, and another man came and knocked on the side door, and I was busy. You know, sometimes you can get busy, you can get really too busy. And Brother Chauncey was standing there, and he saw the young man, and he beckoned for the guy to come over. He was watching the door, and he wanted anybody to go into the door, and he beckoned for him to come over. And when he got there, the young man just looked at us. I say young man, he's actually probably around 40-ish. Man, been on the street a long time. And Chauncey knew, the Holy Spirit just spoke through his heart, the man was tired. He said, I'm tired. He said, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I'm tired. And, you know, I'm busy. I'm thinking he's physically tired. And usually when people come there and they say something like that, the next question is, so give me $5 so I can go get something to drink. This young man didn't do this. I'm telling you, tears started to run down his face. He said, no, really, I'm tired. I'm tired of this whole thing. Life is tough. I'm tired. And Chauncey, I just stepped back, and Chauncey started to talk to him. And he says, brother, and he says, listen, you've been on this road for a long time. And there's some things in your life that you need to get out. And he went on to minister to him and tell him how you can do this. And this man, I'm telling this man, bawled. I'm telling him he was not playing. And I saw what I knew in my heart. And that is that we're not just there to be there. Chauncey knew the Lord sent him there. And he knew, he might not have known exactly why, but he knew why. He said this, and it blessed my heart. He said, my wife and I, we've started to ask the Lord to help us to see people through his eyes. And we're asking to be the laborers to go out. And we're seeing how God is answering our prayer. We're in Poindexter for a reason, for a purpose. And listen, there are a lot of people who've come out and volunteered with us. We've had a couple of hundred people who've come out. There are several people, quite a few of them, who come out on a regular basis. I want to encourage you, even if you don't become a part on a regular basis of what we do, you can do something. You can pray. You can pray for the people in that community. You can come out and serve during the week, or you can come out and serve on a monthly basis. You can come out and serve on a yearly basis, and that's what we've done. We've actually created some positions or some opportunities, some volunteer opportunities for you to come out weekly, or you can come out monthly when we do our third Saturday outreach, or you can come out once a year, if that's what the Lord, you know, if he puts it on your heart, your schedule won't allow, you can come out. And twice a year, we're going to do an annual event, big event, where we're going to do a community-wide event. You want to be a part of that. I have nothing to gain from that. We have nothing to gain from asking you to come out except watching God just bring you into the fullness of what he called you for. Allowing him to help you to identify what you placed on this earth for. Poindexter is going to be a training ground for some of you. Some of you will go to nations. Some of you will go to the nations. Did you hear me? Some of you will go to the nations. Some of you will go into the fivefold ministry. Some of you are already there. This is a good training ground. It's a good place to start. It's a good place for you to allow God to develop you, to train you, to raise you up, and ultimately to send you out. You owe it to yourself, not to me, but you owe it to yourself to come out at least one time and see if God pricks your heart. God pricked Paul's heart. Paul went on to become a mighty man of God, mightily used of God. Went on to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And at the end of his life, he said, you know what, Timothy? I'm gone. It's up to you now, brother. You and all of these people that you're going to impart into. God has a plan for your life. And so after the service, we've got some volunteers who's going to be here. We've got some opportunities here, like during the week. This is the weekly volunteer opportunities. We've got discipleship class that goes on Thursday nights from 7 till 8 o'clock. People in the community come and we teach them the Word of God. Amen. So you can come out and train to facilitate a class or just help out, fellowship, pray with people. We've got mentors at Poindexter Elementary who mentor these kids. They go into the schools during the week and do nothing but read books to the kids, to the students, develop relationships with them, be a support system to them. Computer lab. We're about to start up, kick off a computer lab at the center. Kirk Sansom is going to be teaching basic computer classes to the parents who can then help their kids with their homework. We got food distribution and building maintenance. The building has to be cleaned up. I'm doing it. I don't mind doing it. If you want to help me, come on out and help me. I'd be greatly appreciative. Ground maintenance, those kinds of things, if you just want to do something. And clothes distribution, those kinds of things. And there's more stuff during the month. Monthly positions, there's like grilling, cooking food for the people in the neighborhood when we do the fellowship lunch at the end of the outreach. Door to door, you can go door to door and greet these people, pray for them. Just a number of things. Food ministry, we go out and serve bags of groceries to people. Sometimes it's bread, sometimes it's potatoes. It's all, you know, just whatever it is. But the ultimate goal is to get out and to engage these people with the gospel, to pray for them, to tell them about the goodness of God. Amen? And then we've got things like working on the parking lot, doing lawn maintenance, all those kinds of things, building projects. We're going to be helping people repair their homes. And then we got activities for the children during the third Saturday outreach. Now, here's the really neat thing about what we're doing and the way we're doing it. You said, I know you're looking at me like, Brother Tommy, you know, you're supposed to be preaching the gospel. And I'm looking at you saying, but I am. Go into your world. Here's the really neat thing, like with Brother Chauncey. While you're doing these little menial things, these little things that seem like they don't mean that much, God draws people to you. He draws you to people. He sends you to a door, the door of, there's a house there that in your heart, you know, that's the house you're supposed to go to. You're standing on the street there. That's the person that you're supposed to approach. That's the person who's been praying for help. We've got people who are saying, listen, we're really glad you guys are here. Since you've been here, people in the discipleship class, there's one lady who said, she said, we started coming to the discipleship class, I think it was 2 months ago. And she said, when we came, myself and none of my family members were in church. She said, but we came out here and we started learning so much about, we used the First Start, the Fresh Start series there. They said, we learned so much about what our lives should look like as Christians and about the Holy Spirit and about being connected to a church, that now myself, my two daughters, and my grandkids, we all are in church again. Hey, man, that's worth it. That's worth 3 years of being in the community. And now we're hearing people saying, we want to come to the discipleship class on Thursday nights. We appreciate what you did for our families. We're seeing that stuff. And man, I'm telling you, God has a great plan for Poindexter, but he has a great plan for us. And we're in Poindexter right now, but we're going to be all over Jackson. I mean, literally all over Jackson. But this is a good starting place. And this is what I've learned with 1 minute to go. while it looks like we are going into our world for the world, while it looks like we're going to Poindexter for Poindexter, we're actually going for us. I get more testimonies from the people who come to serve about how God changed their lives than I do even from the people who we serve. This is for them, but it's for us. It's for them, but it's for you. God wants to do great things in your life, and he's going to do it. And he's going to do it through your seeing how he works through you to get to somebody else. And here's the neat thing. I don't know about you. This has been the best year I've ever had. I've shared it with other people. I've spent more time. I love you, baby. I've spent more time down at Poindexter probably than any other time except for when we were doing the renovation. And God has just so tremendously increased me and my sweetheart. I'm telling you, man, we don't lack anything. We don't lack anything. And I know in my heart, I mean, we give more than we've ever given. We serve more than we've ever served. And God is serving us. He is. We don't want for any good thing. He surrounded us with people who love to serve. He's put us in a church who love to serve, a pastor who outreaches his heart. And so we have the freedom to do what we love to do because Pastor Joel loves people. Amen. Well, my time is out. Listen, at the end of the service, we want to pray. But at the end of the service, if you have if you got a prick in your if I've drawn on your heartstring at all, come on down. No, after service, come on down and see what we got. See the opportunities, the volunteer opportunities that we've got for you. If you don't feel like you want to serve, it's fine. But come down and see what we got. If you do, we've got somebody to sign you up. We will put you to work. We'll put you to serving, and you'll be so glad we did. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be your hands and feet to the world. We thank you, Father, for creating outreach just for us to be able to go out and to touch people for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that as we go, as the volunteers go, Father, and they reach out and touch the lives of others, that their lives will always be fully supplied. Father, we thank you for every seed sown. We thank you for the word of God this evening. We thank you for these people who have tolerated me. And we just thank you, Father God, that you are ever working to perform your word. We thank you, Lord. We really do thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Listen, if you need prayer for anything at all, right after the service, come on down over on that wall. And this wall, we'll have somebody waiting to pray for you. And the rest of you come down, sign up for some outreach. Amen. God bless.